Good evening, beautiful people. Good evening. I know that it has been a while, but I have been having some things happen in my life and just dealing with life, and life has been living, right? We recently have had a loss in the family. So you guys know that we have been kind of trying to get things together for that. But I did say we were going to continue in Proverbs, okay? We're going to get through it, okay? We're almost done. It's been really, really exciting, and it's been really, really eye-opening, okay? So before we start, it's going to be a really quick podcast tonight. I want us to go ahead and say a quick confession where we could just kind of confess or any things we may have done that was incorrect so we could receive what wisdom has to say tonight. And we're going to be in silence today, okay? Because I kind of feel somber and feel a solace going on. So let's go ahead and do our 5 deep breaths and confess and starting. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start. We're going to pick back up in Proverbs 23. You can grab your writing utensils. I have my pen here. I'm ready today. Also, you can grab your electronics. If you're more of an electronics type of gal or guy, you can go ahead and grab one of those, okay? It's going to be Proverbs 23. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. And I already have it underlined, but I want you to underline deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle towards heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. So we have deceitful meats, and now we have dainty meats. Okay? Go ahead and underline dainty meats. That is in... I'm so sorry, guys. That is in verse 6, okay? Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart is not with thee. Okay, this is so, man, I'll tell you guys, let me just give you a little, let's just break. We're going to come back to 7, okay? Now, I do remember, because what I'm going to do is, I don't have my computer with me right now. I'm going to write down 7, okay, verse 7. I want to come back to that, because I was literally just going over that myself. You know, when you're dealing with, like, funerals and stuff like that, and homegoings, you know, family members begin a family member, and it's like, if you don't really have a close relationship with a lot of them, a lot of those reasons why you don't have a close relationship start coming up, right? So, this just is my confirmation right here. Verse 7, I'm going to read it again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart is not with thee. So, do you really want to sit down and break bread and eat with people when you know they're like, oh yeah, eat, oh yeah, you can sit down. And you really know like their heart not with you. You know what I'm saying? So, I really feel that that's... Wisdom is already speaking tonight. Verse 8, the morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and loose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Right there. This is two different conversations going on. Can you really speak to like people who don't really resonate with you? They despise what you have to say. You don't resonate. They say, yeah, sit down to eat. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, you come on my house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead and give me a phone call. Oh, yeah, you come on and come over here to this country club. And you could tell that they really don't like you like that. They heart not with you, you know. It's called deceitful meat, you know. So I'm just not really into that. Touching them and say I'm not feeling that. So let's pick it up in verse 9. Verse 10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Doesn't that sound like a mother to a son or to your daughter? It feels good when you can see that they, like, you know, doing the right thing, okay? Even when they speaking the right thing. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. The father and the mother shall be glad, and they shall bear thee and shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. You ever seen a man get with a certain type of female, and you started noticing they kind of went off and got worse? You know, people say they went down a dark path. They kind of get like a little worse, like the attitude, you know, bad company. It corrupts their good manners. They don't have no manners no more. They're disrespectful. They just whole nature change, right? Where it tells you here that it says a whore. It says a whore is a deep ditch. Now they say dig a hole. Yeah, that's not always a good thing to do. Okay, and the strange woman is a narrow pit. A deep ditch and a narrow pit. So it's a narrow, you know, it's deep, but it's narrow. You just stuck. You understand? And it says that they increase their transgressors amongst men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Okay? So, I mean, this is a very good power-packed proverb here. Okay? Proverbs 23. It gave us some good advice as far as avoiding deceitful meat. And don't sit and eat with people. You know, that's basically letting you know in verse 7 that people can be saying one thing out of their mouth. But you know that, you know, you can kind of feel, you know, that's the hope. We call it the Holy Spirit. You could feel in your heart they don't really like you. And unfortunately, I'm kind of dealing with that in my own family, but I'm pretty sure you guys do as well. It could be colleagues at work and stuff, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's go out to lunch. And you could kind of feel like, I don't think they really like me like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about like, oh, it's a popularity or, okay, everybody's not going to like you. We grown. It's just that it's, you know, eating and drinking, having some downtime is a very intimate thing. My time is precious, and I don't particularly feel that I should be wasting my time on people whose heart is not with me. How can you tell their heart is not with you by how they act? Just because someone is inviting you and saying that you could do something, you can see how they act and what they embrace. What they protect is what they respect. Respect, when you respect something, you value it, you cherish it. So if you see them protecting certain things that, you know, but saying they respect you, those are not people that you really want to sit down and have a meal with and kick it with and chill with. Now, also in this text, it tells us not to be a drunk. Okay, I don't know about you, but you know, I used to have some wine like that back in the day, and it's just not a good thing. It's telling you basically that things can happen to you unaware. When you start to drink, you become intoxicated, right? Intoxicated. Now, your choice of intoxication may not be a substance as far as wine, or says mixed wine, which could be known as like a stronger wine or like a liquor or anything like that, or a beer, right? Like a fermentated type of drink. That's basically an alcoholic beverage. You may be intoxicated with power. You may be intoxicated with gossip. You may be intoxicated with being like covertly sadistic and strange. You may be intoxicated with like mocking people. Like, you'd be surprised what people get intoxicated with. And I want to look up what intoxicated mean, because I know a lot of times, and especially in this verse here, it's giving us a good metaphor. It's not only literal, it could be metaphorical. Literally, we don't want to be drinking no wine. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been there, done that. Trust me, I ain't judging nobody. But it's telling you, it's not good for your body, and it's not good for your, it puts you in what? A different state of mind. And there are places, we are in a time where people's minds, and I've noticed even in my own family, okay? And there go I before the grace of God, so we got to stay humble. Their minds is in a different state of mind. They are intoxicated, okay? Touch your neighbor, say, blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol, da-da-da, okay? They blame it on the alcohol, but it's something, you know, it could be something, blame it on the gossip. You know, they be intoxicated by that stuff, okay? So let's look up, where does the word intoxicated originate? The Greek word for toxin means bow or arrow, okay? From this came the Greek toxikon, meaning a poison in which arrows are dipped. Toxikon was borrowed into Latin as toxicum, which gave rise to the Latin proverb, the Latin verb intoxicare, to poison. The English word intoxicate comes from this Latin word. So basically, the Greek root words, right, where it originated, and then it kind of evolved into this Latin, and then Latin to English. They basically mean, it says something that's dipped into an arrow. I'm so sorry, guys. Something that's a poison that's dipped into arrow. So if I dip if I take an arrow and dip it in poison, and if I shoot it at you, not only is it going to hurt, but it's going to hurt everything around you, right? It's going to begin to change how you feel, and it's not just pain. It could be different type of pain, and it also means to poison. So basically, being intoxicated, anything that would kind of poison you, anything that would kind of have you feeling a different type of way, right? So when we look at it, saying as far as us not being with wine bibbers, there's people who are like, you know what, in the hood we call them winos or wine head. So, and this is very good advice. This is not to judge anybody. Like, you can't have no wine, you can't have no fun. No, it's basically just saying, you know, everything in moderation. Okay, everything in moderation. And it also begins to say, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Okay, so imagine yourself digging something that's deep, but it's real narrow. So it's basically telling you kind of become, that's basically like a verse off of the sunken place. And that can be intoxication. See how it kind of ties in a whore, strange woman, and intoxication, because they all go together. I don't know if you have before as a woman have been this whore energy, or if you have been a strange woman energy, or if you as a man, you are attracted to this whore energy or to this strange woman energy. But just know you're in a sunken place. That means your mind is in a different state. I'm connecting the scripture here with imagery from a movie. You guys remember The Sunken Place? I believe it was called Get Out or something like that, where he kind of got sunk down. Like, you notice he kind of sunk down. It was a woman there that was, what, taking his mind to a different state of mind. He got into a sunken place. He started seeing stuff. I didn't really see the movie like that, but you, if you guys saw the whole thing, I saw clips. You understand what I'm saying. That's what this scripture is saying, okay? That's basically what it is. If you're a fellow and you like women like that, just know that you are in a deep ditch and you're in a narrow spot, okay? A narrow pit. It's a ditch and a pit. Okay, it really is. All right, so let's go. We're going to look at enduringword.com for some commentary. I always like to cite my sources here. All right, and let's go to enduringword.com. Proverbs 23, words of the wise, right? We are just so thankful. Let's say a quick prayer. We're just so thankful, God. We're thankful Most High for this wisdom. We thankful for your affirmation, for your confidence. We thankful for your validation. Even when we can't see it in other people, when we have people that are inviting us places and say, sit and eat, like your text says here, and their heart is not with us. We thankful that you are touched by our infirmities. You know what we go through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that you always understand that you have a validating, you have a comforting, beautiful presence. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit, okay? Thankful for this wisdom. And thankful for your correction. I just had to stop and say that because I'm just so, this really, like, I'm literally living Proverbs, guys. Like, I was sitting here because I'm, you know how you deal with different family members during, like, grieving, and they're calling and they're so disingenuous. And the, I don't know about you, but the way that some of my family members do, they kind of, like, scapegoat me and, like, oh, you're the black sheep and I'm not. I just don't really go around them because their speech is invalidating. They like to invalidate you when you're speaking to them instead of trying to relate to you. They'll go out of their way to agree with whoever or whatever situation. Like, you might be saying, like, oh my God, traffic was so bad. You know, let's just, you know, oh, we know traffic's not that bad. I love my traffic where I live at. First of all, my family will like to one-up you. And then they'll begin to identify with whatever's irritating you. Oh no, traffic. Well, you know, you have to have patience. You know, it don't bother me like that. You know, when I'm in traffic, I guess I know how to drive. And then they're invalidating you. Then they're also throwing pot shots and be disrespectful in your face. And when you react to it and say, hey, why are you talking to me like that? They didn't like to play victim. I don't know what you're talking about. And gaslight. I never said that. I didn't mean that like that. I said that I know how to drive in traffic. Like, what do you mean? So are you trying to say I don't know how to drive? No, that's not what I'm saying. Listen, I'm tired. Or I have to go back to work. You hard to deal with. And that's basically how it is talking to my family in a nutshell. It's very provoking, very triggering, very anger making to the point where they'll join in with anybody and everybody that will react like that with me. And there, a lot of them are covert narcissists, which is why they can like respect bully people, people that like to bully people because they can't outwardly be like that. They like to pretend like they're a good little Christian or a nice little person, or I'm just so tired and I'm such a family guy and I'm a family gal and I'm just a matriarch, or I'm the patriarch, or I'm the uncle, or I'm the good cousin, and I'm the big sis. Like, they try to pretend those ways, but that's just what this verse 7 is saying, okay? Verse 7 is saying, you know, be careful when they tell you, yeah, sit down, go ahead and eat something to drink. Yeah, I'm calling to see how you doing, but their heart is not with you. That's what this text is saying here, okay? All right, so let's get back to enduringword.com, okay? Do not be deceived at a ruler's table. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. What does this mean? When you sit down to eat with a ruler, the idea of a generous invitation to eat with powerful people at a table loaded with delicious, well-prepared food. This was something like what Daniel and his companions faced in Daniel 1. The rich do not give away their favors for free. They want something in return, and it is generally much more than what they have invested. One can lose one's own soul in an exchange. That's what this is. So a lot of people, are you funny, actor? No, I just don't want to, you know, be careful. I'm sitting at a ruler's table. I don't want to eat none of that. Like I said, I go to certain funerals and stuff. I'm not going to eat none of their food because their heart is not with me. And my kids ain't going to eat it either. No, I'm not hungry. I know I'm a big woman, but I eat my own food. You know, that type of thing. It's not that you being funny. And again, we're not rebuking fools, because when they're in this foolish energy, remember, in Proverbs before, Proverbs is to help us to stay in the wisdom of God so we can get his reward, we can get his correction, understand his correction. It's also to help us to avoid the pitfalls and avoid dealing with people like this and how to deal with them. You have to be respectful. So when people are acting like this, they're in foolish energy. They're not being wise. If they were, they would have empathy and mind their business and be, you know, doing their own thing, right? Or being around people who actually have their heart. They won't be trying to be around, because that's being fake. Okay, like, I want to be around you, but I don't really like you like that. That's what the scripture is saying. Verse 7, Proverbs 23. That's basically what it's saying. So in Proverbs, it's showing us we don't want to rebuke those people. You don't have to be loud. I made a lot of these problems and these mistakes within my youth. Okay, now I will vent in my house. I'll try to call and talk to somebody, but unfortunately, a lot of my family speak like this. It's just, and it's so annoying to me. So a lot of times I'll talk to God or I'll write. I'm a writer. So that's how that kind of thing goes, okay? So you don't want to correct them because they'll hate you. You don't want to try to get them no wisdom on it either. They don't want it. And also in Proverbs 23 says that they despise your wisdom. They don't want to hear that. So it's best for me not to talk to him, and I don't want to eat at your table. Okay? No, thank you. Consider carefully what is before you. Don't be overwhelmed and seduced by the atmosphere of power and luxury. If you are vulnerable to these temptations, beware. Put a knife to your throat. Basically saying, you might as well off yourself because you're about to be off. Okay. Not as far as like suicide, but it's just telling you, like, basically you're like checking yourself, right? Okay. It's like you're telling you to check yourself before you wreck yourself because it's bad for your health. Mental health, physical health, it's just not good for you. All tables is not meant for me to eat from. I don't care how baby D, big back, you understand? All of the stuff, little people. I don't care how plus size BBW I am. I'm not eating at everybody's table, including that, and includes biological family. Metaphorically and literally, both in the instance of a lot of them, okay? Now, if you're dealing with unforgiveness, like you get triggered, you can cast, that's a character, something you care about. Cast it over to the Lord. Don't be, oh my God, that shouldn't bother me. Cast it over to God. Lord, I give this over to you. You know, when we're dealing with marriages or funerals or baby showers, you know how, or graduations, or family reunion, you know how this family is, and you know they like to trigger me and provoke me. I give this over to you, God. I give it over to you, okay? And then I don't want to eat at their table, okay? The expression "put a knife to your throat" means to curb your appetite. See, it's not talking about like a violent act towards yourself. We don't receive any of that deletion, suicidal energy at all over here. That's not what this text is saying. It's that's why I love Proverbs, because it's like poetry, kind of like songy, lyrically type of written type of thing. It's basically saying to curb your appetite or to control yourself, also to bite your tongue. Remember I just said, when you're feeling these ways, you can sense and you can see by the Holy Spirit, these people's heart is not with you. It don't matter if it's colleagues at work, family, friends, in-laws, people you've been knowing for a long time. People change. They get off into different stuff and they follow different paths. Like I said, where they might get with a strange woman that, or a whore. This is what the text says. There was a deep ditch and a narrow pit. They might have got off into some stuff and they're not, you don't resonate anymore. You don't have their heart. They don't have a heart for you. So you're not going to correct them because they're in foolish energy. They hate your wisdom. So it's telling you, when they offer you things, to control your appetite, to try to control yourself and to bite your tongue. You don't have to, basically don't tell them nothing. It is a shame for a saint to be a slave to his palate. Isaac loved venison too well, right? So this Isaac, was talking about Isaac when he sold his birthright to Jacob, okay? For what? A morsel of meat. Touch your neighbor, say, I don't want none of that meat. Thank you. I don't want none of that. No, thank you. I don't want none of that meat. It calls it deceitful meat. It calls it dainty meats. You know, dainty. Ooh, dainty meat. A morsel of meat. Touch your neighbor, say, all meat is not meant for me to eat. That is physically, as far as food-wise, and sexually. No, thank you. All meat is not meant for me. It's deceitful meat. All right. Okay. All right. This is good. So, give it to appetite. Though referring here narrowly to food, can be interpreted broadly with reference to all appetites. Total prohibition is necessary for a person who cannot control his appetites. The disciple can give no place for lust. So it's basically, when you're around certain type of people, no, I don't want nothing you offering. They're going to think that you're being funny. That's why the Proverbs tell us there's a way that you have to deal with them. You can be cordial, agree with that adversary. Okay, yes, that's great. You know, oh, no, thank you. That's okay. It's a way that you can decline the deceitful meat. Touch your neighbor and say, decline the deceitful meat, whatever the meat is. It says this is not just food, right? This is dealing with anything, anybody that don't have a heart for you, that's offering you something. Because you have to ask yourself, if you don't have no heart for me, that means you don't love me. You're not bearing none of the fruits of the Spirit when it comes to me. I can see, a lot of times, people are so disrespectful nowadays, they blatantly play in your face. I've had people in my family will blatantly play in your face. Forget a stranger, you know, or anybody, but when it comes to like family, or like right here it says, as far as rulers, people who have like authority, or who you think have prestige, or you know, who have a backing, and they have sponsors and they could network. When you sit, those people are considered strangers, or like maybe like an acquaintance, right? You have to consider yourself basically just fast. I wouldn't take anything, because you have to be very careful with that. If they don't like you, why are you offering me something? You don't have a heart for me. They don't display none of the fruits of the spirit with you. They don't have no love for you. They don't have no joy. They hate your joy. They don't have no gentleness with you. They're very harsh and very nasty and very rough and very savage and cruel. They don't have no peace when it comes to, they like to disturb your peace and rock your peace and steal your peace and be a killjoy and steal your joy. Okay, what's that? Love, joy, peace, long. They don't have no long suffering with you. You notice when people don't have no heart for you, they don't have no patience for you. Even when you go like now we have a definite family, they'll like rush you off the phone or they'll like invalidate your feelings. That's somebody that don't have no long suffering with you. They don't care to suffer long with you. They don't care. Now you'll see them go off with a bozo or with a crazy person, or like right here in a text it says with a whore or with a strange woman, and they'll have a lot of compassion for them, a lot of fruit of the spirit with them, right? That's because they don't have a heart for you. Goodness, that's another fruit of the spirit. They don't have no goodness with you. Meekness, they don't have no meekness with you. They're very proud, they're very arrogant, they're not humble. Okay, faith. They don't have no faith in you. They believe you hopeless. This sounds harsh, me saying this. I'm not saying it to be rude. This is how I've dealt with a lot of people in my family like this. There are a lot of people in society that are like this. You'd be surprised. And it's because they don't have a heart for you. So when you know people don't have a heart for you, whether it's family, friend, whoever, or like if you're trying to go up in the company and they are inviting you out, I would, you know, decline. That's what the text is telling you. It's wisdom. Remember, Proverbs is teaching us wisdom, of God's wisdom. Now, most other, the worldly wisdom say, no, I'm about to go. I'm a get flute. I'm about to go. Shoot, if somebody such and such, let's say, let's come up with a name. Mrs. Pink Flower or Mrs. Rainbow Flower. I want to use those imagery because those people read too much into that. Mrs. Salt Lamp. That's y'all. If you read into that, then you just must be just really trying to get upset about something. Mrs. Salt Lamp. Oh my God. Mrs. Salt Lamp is like the most like famous. Like they are the best in the company. They're the best lawyer in the country. Like they have invited me. Can you believe me? Like, cause so you feel honored because they are a ruler. Now we're not, you know, demoralizing or demeaning or degrading to say they're not people like that that don't rule. These are rulers. These are bosses. This is a boss girl. This is a boss guy. Okay. It's a made guy. They're like, oh, you want, you feel honored. Like you feel like, you know, you feeling yourself. Like they know who I am. Like, and what the text here of God's wisdom is telling you, don't go. If they don't have a heart for you, don't do it. Don't get nothing they offer. Don't want none of. Now, what the world would say, or what they would consider like a carnal mind, right? And this is not to be like, oh, do you guys over there? Because I have my own problems. Like, trust me. I'm talking about according to the text, exegesis, okay? All right? Exegesis, not eisegesis. We're not making it say what we don't want it to say. Because I gave you guys my commentary off of it, what the Holy Spirit gave me. And we're also reading, these are theologians here. Okay? You can check it out for yourself. Fact check. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It's right here. Proverbs 23. Go look up enduringword.com. It says it right here. Okay. The world would say, I'm about to go over here because I'm after my what? Big. I'm going to be after my big. And then before you know it, you done met a whore and a strange woman. You in a deep ditch and a narrow pit. And you sitting with people that don't have no heart for you at all. But you didn't exchange so much. You understand? So the God's wisdom is telling you just kind of curb your appetite. Say, no, thank you. Okay. They are deceptive food. What does that mean? The ruler's table may be your ruin. You may be so seduced by the atmosphere of power and luxury that you surrender what you should not, what should not be surrendered. You promise what should not be promised. And in effect, you worship and serve what should not be worshiped and served. So the warning is not to indulge in his impressive feast. The ruler wants something from you or is observing you, right? Because if somebody don't, you know, this is good. And that's by Ross. That is a theologian, okay? And I like how it has all of these. It's like we're having a conversation with theologians. I'm reading enduringword.com, Proverbs 23, commentary. And it's just giving us, like, we're sitting around with these theologians and they're feeding us this wisdom that they have matriculated throughout the text to us. It's like beautiful dew. It's like water. It's like living water. This is a living word, and I'm living this right now. Because, you know, rest in peace, Dad. I love you. But his family, my dad's side of the family, and even my mom's side, the way they communicate, they bastardize language and they invalidate, they gaslight, they provoke, they trigger. They sadistically and intentionally do it. Then they play victim and then they stonewall. And they believe that stonewalling and silent treatment and framing, you know, Christianity and playing worship music and talking in churchy tones towards you and looking down on you, they really believe that that's maturity. So this whole time, imagine being surrounded by people who think that I'm immature because I'm not acting like that. Could you imagine how irritating that is? So after a while, you'll get a reputation of being a loner. It's not that I'm a loner. I'm surrounded by people that do not, I don't relate. They don't have no heart for me. It's what it is. You can't be like, well, you the common denominator. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But as far as like, oh, you hard to get along with, or that's because they want you to sit at their table. They want you to eat their deceitful meat. They're being deceitful. If I told you to sit at my table and I'm like, you want some of this turkey? You're like, yeah, girl. And then you eat it. And I'm like, ha ha, that wasn't turkey. That was raccoon butt the whole time. Wouldn't you be like, you know, you feel duped, right? So it's the same way if you sit down, you know, indulging with people and living life with people that don't have a heart for you. That's what God is telling you to say, no, thank you. This is where delayed gratification come into play. I know it's hard, especially in this, you know, it's my money. I want it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take it. And, you know, this type of generation where we want, you know, instant gratification. I could just at the click, the DoorDash. I don't have to go through, you know, we want it at the click of them. I don't have to wait on no man. I could go get me a gigolo. I could go get me a escort. Like, this type of like instant gratification type of scenario, and I'm after my bag, you know, the materialism and stuff like that. I'm not against it. I'm just saying some things is not supposed to be surrendered or some things are not supposed to be promised. That's what it's telling you. Just be mindful. And this is only when they don't have a heart for you. It's not teaching you to be paranoid or I don't know about that or ain't nothing like that going to happen. No, it's teaching you to have what? Wisdom. That's what we welcome in this wisdom. Okay. Let every young man desirous of walking in the ways of wisdom keep his eye illuminated by the fear of Jehovah. All who put before him this their material dainties, lest they rob him of his spiritual excellencies. So there's some people that, you know, you ever heard the spirit of excellence? I ain't heard this in a while. That's by theologian Morgan. The spirit of excellence, that was an old term I haven't heard in a long time, okay? I haven't heard in a long time. It's a spirit of excellency. Ooh, excuse me. Or spiritual excellency. Some things that you walk in excellence in the spirit, you give them up for material dainties. You want dainty things. You understand? Do not make an idol of wealth, okay? Do not overwork to be rich. Many times the book of Proverbs rebukes and even mocks the lazy man, right? We don't want to be lazy. Yet this does not mean that work and the wealth that comes from work should be made an idol. One may begin to worship work. You know, they say, I'm a workaholic. I'm always working. That's not always a good thing. That one should cease and do so because of your understanding. You know better. Riches certainly make themselves wings. Though working hard is a mark of wisdom, we don't live for the riches that may come from the work. Those riches are too vulnerable and temporary to be a worthy focus of our life, right? Seek ye first the kingdom, all other things will be added unto you. Okay? And do not eat at the table of a stingy man. This is verses 6 through 8. I'll write of Proverbs 23. Do not eat at the bread of a miser. The ruler's table was a dangerous place. But so is the table of a miser, okay, M-I-S-E-R, or miser, okay? The one with an evil or ungenerous eye, a very stingy person, the miser, this is the envious or covetous man who secretly grudgeth thee the meat which he sets before thee, okay? Isn't that, you ever been in somebody's house? Oh, yeah, you're like, girl, let me have some of that pie. Oh, yeah, you can have some of that. And you don't know that they're a miser. They can't stand that you eating some of their pie. They envious of you. They mad. They covetous that you eating something they offer to you. Why? Because they don't have a heart for you. So you don't want to sit down with rulers that don't have a heart for you. You don't want to sit down with a miser. That means an evil-eyed person, a person that has envy and they covetous of you. Anything they give you, it says they have a grudge against you. You'd be like, well, what's wrong? And I have people like that in my family. It's very hurtful. Where I've had to literally separate myself for years. You hear me? And I would talk to them for a while, let them come up to my house. I even had to stop that. Now, this is a funeral. I got to go to it. Because I'm like, if this wasn't my dad's funeral, I just wouldn't go. Okay? I've even had people on my mother's side, they act weird. Some people love to see, oh, you have a funeral, and they like that miser in them come out, that envy and that covetousness. They even have a grudge towards you that you express in your emotions. So that's when they'll go into invalidating your emotions. Well, I feel angry. Well, I don't feel angry when somebody died. I'm just grateful I knew them and I honor them. That sounds nice on the surface, but go deeper. If they don't have a heart towards you, they're invalidating your emotions. It's disrespectful and that's emotional abuse. Okay? That's what I mean by bastardizing language. They have bastardized this. It's not really owned language with you. They're not trying to resonate with you on their own. They're trying to bastardize and act like you're not owned and disown you kind of in a way. You understand? I apologize if that wording offended anybody, but that's what I mean. They're bastardizing it. Okay? They kind of exploit language. They don't really mean they don't mean what they say. They don't want to offer nothing to you. They don't have a heart towards you. So a miser, 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 that's an envious and a covetous person who secretly hold grudges to you. Anything they do for you, so don't sit at their table, they have a grudge towards you. Remember that one time, I just dealt with this too with a family member. They was talking about not paying their bills and stuff. And I'm like, well, you have to pay your bills. You know what I'm saying? And they said, well, I pay bills at such and such time. Well, that was when I was 19. I'm 39 and that was 20 years ago. They do stuff begrudgingly to you. They do stuff for you or offer you things and they secretly have a grudge towards you with it. They'll be even envious and covetous that what they're doing is easing anything for you, okay? And that's where there comes the secret sabotage in them. You'll say, well, this person in my family or my man's mother, my mother-in-law is so nice. She goes and gives me Krispy Kreme donuts every morning. But as soon as she get upset with you because she's been envious and covetous the whole time and she had a grudge towards you secretly that she was giving you those Krispy Kreme donuts, as soon as you make her mad, yeah, that's why I did not give you the Krispy Kreme. They throw it up in your face. It's not throwing it up in your face to help you remember because everybody do that when you get mad every now and then. It's the way they say it. And the way they look, like if looks can kill, it looks like their eyes are just sliced through you like a machete. I wish you never have to experience it. I have people in my family that talk to me like, yes, I do. And it's awful. Now, that can cause you to be maladaptive. This is a little caveat, okay? A little side note. That can cause you to be bitter, maladaptive, very reactive. It can go off into substance abuse because you're confused as to why these people don't want to relate to me? Why are they being harassing and nasty towards me? Why are they choosing to be hostile towards me and acting like they're not as stonewalling and then being dismissive? They're minimizing and validating, empathizing me, talking to me like I'm a baby when I'm trying to just be myself. Why do I have to keep explaining myself to people who have supposedly have known me or people who supposedly know me, right? Or trying to get to know me, you know, you act like you can't understand anything when it comes to me. So that can make you bitter. That's something you care about. There's no shame on that. You should care about if people in your life, they should care about what you care about. Like, what do you mean? So those are the cares that you have to go and take that to God and give those over to him and have to release those things. Okay. Cause that can build up into resentment on your end too. Now I'm not saying it's justified, but in a way your resentment could be justified. Remember, they have secret grudges towards you. They hate that what their service or what they do for you is making you smile. They don't want to make you smile. You ask yourself, well, why would a miser, that's what the text calls it in Proverbs 23, miser, why would they offer to give me some food and do something for me if they envious and covetous and they secretly have a grudge against me? Because they're not walking in God's wisdom. When you don't walk in God's wisdom, these are the different avenues of the archetypes of characteristics. I'm going to dare I say, you guys know I married the spirituality with the psychology, personality disorder. Their persona gets disordered. Not flawed. We all flawed. We all got problems. I got problems. You got problems. We all fall short. I fell short. I said, Lord, let me get back up, right? If you say you ain't failed, you didn't fail seven times, or even a righteous man falleth seven times. So if you ain't failed seven times a day, you're not aware of it, you're lying, you just don't know you are, okay? We're not talking about that. We are talking about personality disorder, their whole persona, bad company. This is talking about company here. Sit at the table of a ruler that don't have a heart for you. They don't like you like that. Sit at the table of a miser, M-I-S-E-R, according to Proverbs 23. These are different archetypes of characteristics to show you. These are people you want to avoid because this is their real intention. That's what wisdom does. It gives you the real intention of people. And it'd be hard to look at sometimes. You could be in denial. I have been there as well with people in my family because I want them to be good company. And that's where it comes what? This is company. If I'm sitting down breaking bread with you, eating with you, talking to you, you're doing services for me, we're working together, we're in company of each other. But you're bad company though. Your bad company could eventually start to corrupt my good manners. I could be a well-mannered person, but you're triggering me, you're envious, you're stonewalling, you're doing a little weird stuff. I can feel you ain't got no heart for me. That's going to start making me have a pissy attitude, a nasty attitude. And you can start being perceived in ways that you're not supposed to be perceived. That's not your natural self. Because why? You're around the wrong people. This is very deep. And this is really giving me some confirmation today. Because I be feeling bad. Like, well, maybe I shouldn't do that to my family. But they're really, really, really not my people. It's just what it is. Okay? All right? The stingy man says to his guest, but his heart is not with you. He doesn't want you to really enjoy yourself at his table because he wants to keep more food for himself. I could have kept them Krispy Kreme donuts for myself. I didn't have to give you no rad there. That was gas money. This is what they thinking in their mind. I could have used this gas money to go over my man house, over my mama, my pop house. I didn't have to do that for you. I don't owe you. Ever heard people say that to you? It'd be people in your family. I don't owe you nothing. You ever listen to the tone, how they talk to you like that? They don't have no heart for you. They never wanted, they're stingy. You be careful of people who act like they're generous, but they're really stingy. You can see they stand. You can hear it. Okay? I've dealt with tons of people like this. Okay? You will offend him if you are foolish enough to take him at his word. Oh, no, it's all right. Go ahead and take more. And they can't stand that you're taking more. That is a miserly muckworm that washeth the choke for the doing. Even then, when he maketh greatest show of hospitality, humanity. Okay, that's about, I didn't know what that man just said, y'all. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's because it's late. I'm like, what is this man talking about? Okay, maybe it's getting late, y'all. Y'all got to finish this up. This is actually really, really good. Let me read that again. He basically is calling, he calling him a miser. You know, like a miser, a miserly muckworm. Okay, this is an older guy. Okay, Theologian Trapp, T-R-P-P. Okay, that's his name. All right. It says that wish that you choke. Okay, at his table. But on the outside, he's making a great show of hospitality and humanity. You know, I love people. I have a heart for people. Come on, here's somebody. Like, that type of, you know, I just love people. I was down at the hospital the other day, and I went to go kiss all of the babies, and I gave all of their mamas $500. And you're like, wow, this is like the nice. And while you're sitting up there eating that food, you laughing. Pass me the hot sauce. He passed you the hot sauce on the inside. He wishing that you choked. They hate you. That's a stingy miser. That is a covetous, envious person that has a secret grudge with you. But on the outside, I got a show of humanity. And I am so hospitable. Be very careful. I'm not hungry. I lost my appetite. Maybe you show because I'm big, right? But no, thank you. I do it all the time. And we not just talking about, again, literal as far as eating, anything they offering. You know me, you know, I can come over there and cut your grass. I had a guy like that before when I first moved to my place. And I said, okay. And then he started getting weird. Like, it's like he kind of hated cutting my grass. He would like cut some of my stuff down on purpose. I have herbs and stuff out there. And I'd be like, people like that. You know what I'm saying? You ever had somebody give you really subpar service and work? But they acting like they doing the best they can do. And no, they really don't like you. That's a miser. Okay? So be careful of rulers that don't have a heart for you and misers. Those are the two biggest giveaways. And I guess the Lord is letting me know your family is full of wannabe rulers because they want to be over you so bad and misers. I mean, I ain't lying. I ain't lying. And the text ain't lying either. Okay. The table of the miser will be such an unpleasant experience that the food you enjoy will come back to bother you. The pleasant words spoken at his table will seem wasted. You understand? Like what they gave you, you like, I don't even want what you gave me. And all of that, how, you know, I love people. You know, I love you. You my homegirl. Like you, we are like this. And you know, it's a miser. The whole, it's basically, this is the anatomy. This is the MO, the modus operandi of a fake person. And they all up in your family. They all up in your friend group. They all up in that country club. They all up on, oh, you know, we go play basketball at the park. They all up at your flag football. They all up in that choir you like to be a part of. You know what I'm saying? Your little glee club. They all up in that dance class you like to go to. You know, hustle. They all up in that. They all up in your in-laws. They all up in your job. They all up in that management at your job. They all up in that. If you're an entrepreneur, they all up in your employees. This is some misers. Such a never says some misers in the house. Yes, it is. And don't be deceived by, again, their great show of humanity. I love people and hospitality and pleasant words and generosity. Why you say, why would somebody act like that? Because they're fake. They don't want, why would you want to tell somebody that I'm covetous and envious of you? I'm inhospitable. Okay? I'm not pleasant. I'm mean. You ain't going to tell nobody that. Some people are overt. Again, personality disorders. Some people would be an overt narcissist. These are like covert narcissists. You know, I'm just trying to help. And they always forget to do what you ask them to do. That's somebody that don't like you. Okay. Do not waste your words on a fool. Okay. So now we have different archetypes. This is not God saying those people are bad. It's saying this is how people behave. And they can go off into these ways of being without my wisdom and coming to me. They can end up being a ruler, which is great. So don't be deceived because they got authority. They got a bed. They got it going on. Yeah, they're a ruler, but they don't have a heart for people in the right way. When they give you something, they want way more in return. You understand? They want way more in return. Like, it's called a deceitful meat. And then the miser has dainty meat. You want some of this? And that's a covetous, evil, nasty, envious person. That whole secret grudges against you. Now we have the fool. These are archetypes and personality disorders and ways you can go about being, you being distorted because your steps is not being ordered, okay, by the Lord. You went off your own. Church never said they went their own way. You know, maybe you went the way because in the text, where is that? So y'all won't think I'm making it up. Verse 27 and chapter 23 of Proverbs 23 and 27. You might have went the way of a whore, which is a deep ditch, or a strange woman, which is a narrow pit. Okay? You might have went somewhere else, and now you're distorted. You know, it's not no clarity. And you'll be surprised at how many people that don't have clarity or they're distorted. They will really try to convince you that you don't know what you're talking about. That is a miser. That might be a ruler if they have authority. And they'll let you know that too. Oh, I'm rich. Okay, that's great. And I can buy you, that type of thing. And come to me like that. Because they what? That's okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Let's just pull these archetypes out of here and then we'll come back to it, okay? Just in the same number, they would say come back to it, okay? All right? As far as you guys are going to read this on your own is what I mean, okay? So then it talks about a fool, okay? They hate your wisdom. And then it talks about also the wine bibbers, okay? And do not neglect your own, the wisdom that the Lord gives you. It also tells us how to correct our children. So it's just giving us so much wisdom on how to move so that we can be what? Safe. We can be in God's will. We can understand even when he corrects us, you know, be grateful for that. And that we can avoid some of these other ways of being. They're outside of how God wants us to operate. God wants us to be dependent upon him. He wants us to cast our cares upon him. God validates us. God draws us with loving kindness. God pays attention to us. Okay. You know, God can say, well, I don't owe you nothing. God said, I just give it to you freely. All of this love, I just give it to you. Come and get it. Knock and I open up the door. Seeking, you're going to find me every time. He said, I'm available to you. You be available to me. You understand? Seeking, you will find. Come to me. He wants us to be just so dependent upon him. And I believe so for not everybody. Now, I'm not saying people are special, but for some of us, he even don't even want our family in that spot. And for me, is he, they sure not. I'm complete agreeance with like they definitely not. Okay. Okay. All right. It says he hold the heart of the kings in his hand. Kings is what? A ruler. And they harden their heart. And that'd be so much to where God, because God is showing you, none of them kings brought you out. I brought you out. Me. I'm the only person that is going to get that type of respect and that reverence from you. Because you're going to be able to see how nasty. Look at this. This is a miser. This is a ruler. This is a stingy man. This is a fool, and this is a wine bibber. This is a drunk or somebody that's intoxicated, not just off a physical substance. They can be intoxicated off of anything. Now, when you sit at their table, look what happened to you, but you come to my table. I prepare a table for you. My hospitality is superb. I prepare a table for you in the presence of what your enemies, in front of the ruler, in front of the stingy man, in front of the miser. I just love people that's lying. The Lord, like, I know that they being fake. That's a miser in front of the fool. They don't care about what you're telling them, the revelations and what the Lord told. They don't care about that. They despise you. They not only don't care, they despise you for you telling them that. The Lord is telling you who to talk to, who to eat with, who to sit with, and who to avoid. That is the ultimate form of love. And I am so grateful for this wisdom. He just didn't tell me how to deal with this criminal. Thank you. And I'm like... Okay, so if this helped you today, I hope that this helped you. I said it's going to be short, but it just got so good tonight, okay? I'm thankful. And again, we want to point the fingers at ourselves, but this was really just telling us, you know, as far as don't go off into these areas. And if you are, you're never too far gone. Turn them around and go back to God, okay? All right, so this is Humble Dane. I hope that this has blessed you. Again, if you are looking for some fire, theologian, deep, you know, straight to the point, power pack, relevant, practical commentary, go to enduringword.com. And I promise you, I don't have no sponsor by them, but they just, it's very good. They literally, the way they do the studies, how I would actually write it out and study it myself. So I give you guys my ghetto, you know what I'm saying? You know, my little ghetto commentary. And it's very similar. Theirs is just way more, they're more advanced than me, and I'm okay with saying that. Okay? All right? I'm not trying to over authority over no man or teach myself above no man. This is just, these are some very good men, and they have very, very, very good insight, okay, that the Lord has shown to them. So I hope that this helped you. I hope that this kind of shown you, you know, we all get lonely. We all want people around us. We all want people around us to understand us, but everybody is just not going to be like that. Just know that. And the Lord is letting us know that they're not. He knows that they're not. So don't think that he don't know, you know. He don't understand that there's some fake people. He get it. He's telling you right here. Come to me. Okay? All right. That's what the Lord says. I'm going to go to him. I hope that you guys do too. I hope that you have a good sleep. I hope that you have a good day. Or whenever you listen to this, good morning. You guys have a wonderful day. Wonderful night. Much appreciation and gratitude. Thankful for the positive energy. I do not receive any negative energy over here. Okay? Return to center. You guys have a wonderful day. Peace.